This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Mr. Scoggins is here. He's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Chipper, hello. How are you this Monday?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. I want to react to the Justin Ishbia story, which popped up late Friday. So this is the brother. His brother, Matt, is the primary owner of the Phoenix Suns. The family has been extraordinarily successful in shared and separate businesses. And seemingly, he is the one public name who had emerged, and he clearly has the wealth. He's worth, what, over $5 billion. The brother's worth even more. They can afford to put together a group and buy the Minnesota Twins. And again, publicly, outside of a couple names here in town, they had been mentioned the most. Well, he already had a partial ownership of the Chicago White Sox, and news emerged Friday that not only was he going to increase his ownership of the White Sox, that it looks likely at some point when Jerry Reinsdorf, who I think is 89, that when Jerry Reinsdorf sells the White Sox, that Ishbia and his group will be the owners. And what surprised me about it was the level of devastation. I think people need to calm the bleep down. First of all, I could have you look at the Phoenix Suns and say, what do you think about Matt Ishbia's running that team right now? Because you know what? It hasn't been run very well.
Yeah.
Okay, so just so you have the money doesn't mean you're going to run it well. And he's been way too involved. The other thing is there are going to be more people. The Ishbia family, God love them. Keep having success. Keep doing what you're doing. But I almost got the feeling that, well, now that the Ishbia brothers are out, there's no one else left. We got a lot of really rich people in this country, Chip, who like to own teams. And I've always thought there was the slightest of slightest chances that the Polads could keep it, but not off one person deciding to keep a larger ownership stake in the White Sox. People need to go do some yoga. Calm down. Namaste. We got a long ways to go.
Yeah, it's. I understand the reaction, though, Chad, because it's the only name that has been floated, right? So there's the assumption as, okay, well, that's the only name that's been floated, so they're going to be the buyers. And we don't have any idea how many people have contacted them, how many groups have contacted the Twins, or might have been even more interested in doing their due diligence. And also, what were the reports that they were contacting some former pro athletes here in town? And so you thought it was going to be close to the finish line. And let's be honest, when that news came out that they were interested, what did we all do? Looked at how rich they were. And so you automatically thinking, hey, they're really rich. They're going to spend a ton of money on the Twins. And coming off the poll ads, that got people excited. So, yeah, it's I think the Twins, I think Dave St. Peter's on the radio yesterday trying to just saying, you know, that was one name. Don't lose belief. But you know what? I was thinking about this, though, Chad. Does the structure of baseball with no salary cap and the Dodgers can spend whatever they want and essentially five teams can – or three, you know, a small handful of teams can just spend as much as they want, whereas everyone else is working on budgets and now you have the TV thing. Does that lower the attractiveness to owners who – you know, it might be ego they're getting into it, but I would think that you're getting into it because you want to win a championship too, and that goes along with ego. And it's so much harder to win when you feel like, okay, there's a few teams that are working on another level and everyone else. So I'm curious to see how that impacts. We won't know how many people really express interest, but I'm curious if that gives some people pause, some of the people that would be interested.
I think it's an interesting question, but here's where I'll push back. I think anybody who's in this game, who's worth how many to be in this game, how many billions are you worth? They're convinced most of the time, Chip, that they're so shrewd, that they're so savvy, that they can bring their practices and principles in play that they can defy that. For the betterment of the game, a salary cap would make sense. I don't know if they're going to get that, but what they need to really get is a stronger punishment. I don't blame the Dodgers. As long as the system is set up, Chip, the Dodgers should just do whatever they want. But we have to have a system that punishes them. And I think another part of your conversation, which is it's a really good point to bring up, I think a lot of these owners also look at and they say, no matter when you buy a team, almost every single time, by the time you sell it, 10, 15, 20 years later, it has jumped so much in profit. And for a lot of people, too, it raises their visibility, Chip, and it opens up even more doors to them. So it makes sense in multiple ways.
Well, that's it. Yeah, teams don't lose their value in the way the world's going. I mean, look at every, you know, any league, the value goes up. So these are business people that are used to making money, and they've been successful business people. So they view it as an opportunity to get even richer. Some of it might be just the ego of, hey, I'd love to own a sports franchise, and I have the wealth to do it. There's some of that. So, yeah, I don't. These people don't get to be rich by being failures at business. And so you're probably right that they feel like they could have the magic touch. But I'm just curious, you know, that baseball is in such a weird spot right now with just the discrepancy of what teams are paying and for payrolls that it almost feels self-defeating. And then the whole TV thing where you don't know what kind of revenues you're going to be getting from your local thing, from MLB.com now, if they're streaming it, and the Dodgers, their TV thing makes them so much more than everyone else that it's just a weird – I feel like baseball's in a weird spot right now. And there's becoming more and more talk about discrepancy in payrolls. I don't know that they'll ever get a salary cap. I don't think that'll happen, but you're right. And it's been floated out there about there needs to be some punitive action taken for teams that are spending 10 times what everyone else is spending, that there's got to be some kind of tax on that. So I don't know what that would look like, but it's just, don't you feel like it's an interesting spot for the sport right now?
Yeah, you're 100% right. I don't know the miles distance between Los Angeles and Sacramento. But just think what's going to happen this year. The Dodgers won the title last year, and they added player after player after player. The Oakland A's, who had really a phenomenal run in Oakland, When you think how they won in the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s, the aughts, the teens, and even, you know, last 20-some years with Billy Beane, the ownership couldn't get a stadium. They were mismanaged. They're now going to play in a minor league ballpark in Sacramento. Minor league ballpark. How much revenue are they going to bring in? Well, the Dodgers will sell out every game. Mm-hmm. They will market it all throughout the globe, including in Japan, because of the three phenomenal players they have. They will bring in, I can't imagine the economic difference. And I'm not saying everybody has to be equal, but you need to start the year feeling like you have a chance.
Yeah.
And that is dwindling and dwindling and dwindling.
You know what's interesting, though, Chad? I can't remember if it was Phil Miller or Bobby Nightingale for my paper, but one of the first days at spring training, before they started, they were down there and guys were coming in. They talked to a handful of Twins players. And you know what the reaction was? This is great for the game. This is players saying,
obviously, they like
making
the cash.
The money. They like the cash, but it's now maybe privately they're thinking, okay, well, they're creating an all-star team, you know, out in L.A., and it's going to be tough to beat them.
Yep.
But from a player's perspective, they probably look at it like, hey, this is wonderful. If a team, you know, if you have value, the team can spend whatever, why would we want to cap, put a limit on that? So, but from a fan's perspective, you look at them and like, well, how are you ever going to realistically, and I know it doesn't always work that you can't always spend the team that spends the most money doesn't win the championship. We know that. We've heard that argument forever. But you increase the odds. Players, the superstars. It must be just, you know, it's just deflating that, we'll go to the ballpark, but we don't feel like we're really going to be a contender anytime soon. Whereas in the other sports,
it's at least similar.
You feel like you have a shot if there's a salary cap.
It's similar to all the other employees of the Star Tribune when they're aware of your salary and the work that they have to do.
That's right.
You know, I mean, you got
there
your big
only one
office.
His name was Sid.
yeah, that is fair. All right, my father is going to be tied to our Gopher basketball topic next hour because I spent some time on Twitter seeing how people were reacting, including reacting to Patrick's column. And it's like, will they ever understand the role of a columnist versus a fan? I don't think it's ever going to happen. Back with the Star Tribune's tremendous columnist, Chip Scoggins, in moments on CCO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chip Scoggins, middle school, high school, where did he stand on Rick Springfield and this song, Jesse's Girl?
I was a big Rick Springfield guy, and I think my sister actually went to his concert in Chattanooga, Tennessee way back when, but yes.
Nice. Nice. He was pretty big because he was on General Hospital, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Great looking, good personality, and anybody who was Jesse, man, he had it going on with this song in the 80s, that's for sure.
That's right.
All right. So we talk Gopher basketball plenty. I just had Ben Johnson on last week coming off the stirring comebacks against SC and UCLA. And talking about the progress they made, winning 6-9. So then they get Penn State at home, at Williams, early game Saturday, and they stink. Let's just be honest. They play lousy. They lose the game. So Patrick's, right? He writes the column. It's got the normal Patrick stuff, and he's got this payoff late in it about the woman they're honoring who's had Gopher season tickets since she was dating my father back in the 30s or something. You know, says something like, I assume she's seen worse games or something like that. You know, it was just vintage Patrick. And so yesterday I ended up going down the rabbit hole of Gopher this on Twitter, Gopher that on Twitter. And this is why so many Gopher fans have canceled their Star Tribune subscriptions, columns like this. Okay, I'm going to go first, and then you go, because this is your job, and you can explain it better. But there's a guy I knew kind of well, okay, who used to be a columnist, who Chip knew very well also, who absolutely was a loyalist to the sports in town. Let me give you a dirty little secret, though. When he talked to Chip in the press box, or he talked to me the million times we talked, he wasn't always as optimistic behind the scenes. Is that a fair assessment, Chipper?
Was it? Yeah, that's very true.
Fair. You know, fair. Sometimes what my father wrote in the column wasn't exactly how he felt. But he's a rarity, boys and girls. Other columnists go there, and they're objective. They provide insight. They comment. And if you're a diehard fan, more power to you. I have no problem. Chip has no problem. But that is not the role a columnist is supposed to play. And no matter how many times somebody can read a column, especially in our town, because the power of my father, they won't accept the different roles different people have in the media.
Well, and I wonder, too, how many people that are upset actually read the column versus the way it was tweeted out. Because, Pat talked to her, talked about her husband, talked about, you know, how they got involved with. So I think there are some people that reacted to a tweet more than actually reading the column, what Pat wrote, because it wasn't what some of the message that was being conveyed. I didn't see a lot of it, but I understand what you're saying. Yeah, and it was. That's a bad loss. I mean, that's a really bad
loss.
When you go out there and do something only Michigan has done this year and sweep the California team and then come home and lose to the last place team where you're just it looks like you're going through the motions, that's a terrible deflating loss. And so I'm not sure how you were supposed to write it other than that. And, you know, I credit Pat for finding a really cool angle that the season ticket holder and the alumni guys that they had back. And so it was not as harsh as what some people on Twitter, I think, made it out to be. Now, I think the tweet probably got some people going, but Pat didn't tweet it out.
Yeah, and that can be part of it, too. And you face this many times. Working with Dan as long as I did, I know this, too. You guys don't write the headline. Whether it's now the tweet or the headline, some of that sometimes is on the newspaper to do a better job conveying it. Now, oh, by the way, the reader is allowed to do this crazy thing, read the story, but the headline sometimes doesn't help.
Well, that's true. And, you know, that's a tale as old as time, as writers explain to somebody, I don't write the headlines. I mean, the readers don't care. You know, they're just mad at things. So that's part of the job. And that's part of it. I think more than anything, I just think Gopher fans had saw a glimmer of hope after beating USC and UCLA, and you come back and then you lay that egg at home. I think they were just frustrated with everything at that point. So it was one step forward, two steps back for the program. I mean, you can't lose that game. And if you're trying to build momentum and create, you know, something with the fan base and excitement, you can't lose that game.
You know, in the other sports too, Chip, if it's NBA, NHL in particular, if you've been on a long road trip, a lot of times that first game back is something. Not when you had that type of break. Come on.
Yeah.
It was
four days
since the UCLA game?
Yeah, and I was there the day before the game and for Ben Johnson's media availability, and he was talking about, you know, you win a couple games, the narrative starts to change, and I don't want my guys to lose their urgency or their desperation or that feeling of, hey, you know, you were picked to finish last, and they went out and it happened, and they just don't have enough talent that they can have poor performance. I mean, if they play bad, they're going to lose. Like, some teams are good enough that if they play bad, they can probably get by, probably still win. They just don't have – they have such a slim margin for error. And so they you know, and that's one – you know, when you lose that game, it just, where people say, well, I knew it, here we go again, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. That was the reaction, you know.
Yeah, so. Especially here in Minnesota. One last item, it's national, and it looks like it may turn out to be erroneous, but late yesterday afternoon, there was a story or two suggesting that the Eagles had already decided that when they're invited to the White House, they're not going to go. And I remember I saw that and I thought, come on. They already decided? I mean, the formal invite probably hasn't been there, but I thought, well, who knows? Maybe it's a vote before. And so the story kind of conveyed a little bit of that. And so there were a lot of prominent conservatives who said, go bleep you.
Yeah.
And now more of the reporting seems to be that the Eagles – haven't done anything like that. There hasn't been a formal invitation. I've made it very clear. I'm not a big fan of Donald Trump. I said this before when it was Barack Obama, George W. Bush, any president going forward. For me, just my view, I would show up every time.
Yeah.
I'm showing up as much for my team and the White House. I don't feel like if I'm showing up, no matter the president, that doesn't make me, if I'm here and it's Trump as example or it's Obama, let's use those two. Well, if I'm here, I'm 100% for Barack Obama, or I'm here, I'm 100% for Donald Trump. No, I'm here because my team won the world championship and we've got this amazingly cool opportunity to go to the White House. So I'm going. That's it for me.
Yeah, to me, it's more about the institution, the White House, the tradition of doing it. And you think everybody on that team voted for the same person? I doubt it. Right? So, I mean, I'm sure there are some people that would like to go, and whoever the president is. So, I agree with you. I would, you know, if you differ with whoever the president was politically, whoever the president is, you know, if you team, it's still, you still show up. But I hadn't seen that. Is it for sure they're not going, or is that just rumor out there?
It was a few papers yesterday, and then enough people reacted, I thought, but then there have been some prominent people have come out saying, no, this is wrong. Nothing has been decided yet. It's another reminder, everything's political in one-tenth of a second. And then once it's tweeted out, everybody has to line up in their silos as opposed to, could we find out some information before I give an opinion?
they assume the facts yet without even knowing yet. I know.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. What a time.
All right, my friend. Have an awesome day.
All right, brother. We'll see you.
Chip Scoggins right here on News Talk 830 WCCO.